Have your Bibles tonight. It's a lesson for all of us that if we're not careful, we let sin hide in our heart. It grows. Esther chapter 4. I want to draw your attention tonight. Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai, verse 1, perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, went out of the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Now, you understand tonight that we're in the middle of the book of Esther. What's happened is that Haman has decided to get rid of the Jews. He wants to destroy them all. So he's gone to King Ahasuerus. If you'll notice chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. I want to destroy all the Jews. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of this business. You know what he was saying? I'll give the king. He was a very wealthy man, filthy rich. He was so rich that this amount of money was equal to 2/3 of all the money that came to the king for a year. So he was willing to buy the death of all the Jews around the world, because this is a worldwide kingdom, Medes and Persians. They control the world. So he said, I want to get rid of all the Jews. So I want to destroy them all. Well, understand tonight, the book of Esther is written so that you and I can understand God always takes care of his children. He always has a plan, and he always has a plan for you. And you and I have to be in the place of God's will in order to be able to do the will of God and accomplish what he has for us. And sometimes God places us in a position to take care of others and we don't even know it. And you're going to see that. Now notice, if you would, Roman number 1 in the outline. The Jews were devastated and in great pain because of the king's decree. So what happened was, A in the outline, the content of the decree was devastating. What happened was Haman went to the king and said, oh, king, I'll pay you 10,000 talents. I'll give you, I think this is something like $20 million. And in that day and age, that's a fortune. He said, look, I'd like to give you this amount of money in exchange for you writing a law that cannot be changed, the law of Medes and Persians, that all the Jews on a certain day be destroyed. So he had cast lots, and he came up to the 12th month, 13th day. He said, that's when we want to destroy them all. And the king said, okay, here's my ring. Write it up and seal it. Well, notice, B in the outline, Mordecai rent his clothes and cried aloud because the king had sent out a letter, this decree, on his post. Look at verse 15 of chapter 3. The post went out. These are like the Pony Express, you might say. They were men that carried the new laws of the country, and they went, started out from the capital whenever the king wrote a new law, and it went all over the world, all 127 provinces. You'll notice, and the post went out being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. So every time a new decree went out, it went all over the world. And so now it happens, it gets all over, and Mordecai gets a sheet of paper, gets the post, and reads it over, and he takes his clothes and rinses them, tears them apart, puts on sackcloth and 6 ashes. And notice, see in the outline, the people fasted and wept. Look in verse 3 of chapter 4. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes, perhaps a symbol of the most grief that a person could have. So you'll notice, if you would, Esther hears about Mordecai sitting in ashes with the sackcloth on, and she's horrified. So she doesn't know about the law yet, so she sends beautiful clothes for him to change into. But she doesn't understand why he's grieving. So you'll notice, verse 4. So Esther's maids and her chamberlain came and told her. Then the queen was exceedingly grieved and sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. So Mordecai refuses the nice clothes because he's brokenhearted. Verse 5, then Esther called for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains who he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. What is wrong, Mordecai? Why are you sitting in sackcloth and ashes? Why are you so grieved? And you refuse to take the beautiful clothes that I sent to you so that you can cleanse yourself and get back to a normal life. Well, you'll notice, D in the outline, Esther was exceedingly grieved at Mordecai's pain, but didn't understand why at first. Now, Hebrew word here for grieved is the Hebrew word to twist in pain. I've only seen this one time, really. A man was in the hospital and he had cancer severely. It was the very end of his life. He passed away that very night. But he wasn't in hospice. Hospice is different than a hospital in one way. A hospital must do all the things according to the Hippocratic Oath. They have to be careful not to overdose you. They have to be careful to give you what they should give you, but not too much. So you can be in great pain in certain senses and cannot get out of pain. Because you've already had too much medicine. But in hospice care, their goal is to keep you comfortable. Hospice care is for end-of-life care. Someone that's about to pass soon. This word is writhing in pain. She was so grieved that she hurt. She just sat there and couldn't understand what is wrong with Mordecai. Oh, what's wrong with Mordecai? And she was just grieved. The Bible uses clear terms, exceedingly grieved. Writhing in pain for him. She is a young lady that is very rare. She's beautiful, one of the most beautiful women in the world at this time. She's young, she's submissive, obedient to her uncle, obedient to the king, but she's very compassionate. Her beauty did not get to her heart. She loved the Lord, and she loved her uncle, and she wanted the best for him. So you'll notice, Roman numeral 2 in the outline, Mordecai designed a simple plan to stop the massacre. Now, she didn't realize what it was at first. Well, you'll notice, if you would, A in the outline, Mordecai knew Haman's promise of money meant a lot to the king. Look in verse 7. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened to him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to the king's treasury for the Jews to destroy them. So this is Mordecai talking to Hatak. Hatak is going to go back and talk to Esther. And that's what he does in verse 9. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whatsoever, whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out this golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called till come into the king these 30 days. So what's happened is, Mordecai talks with this chamberlain and says, look, you've got to talk. His plan was, you've got to talk to Esther. Esther has got to go into the king and plead for mercy for us and our people. Well, notice if you would in verse 8, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them and show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her to charge her that she should go in unto the king. Now Esther knows there's a rule. It's the law of the Medes and Persians. And if you remember, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because the law of the Medes and Persians couldn't be changed. And the king himself tried every way in the world until late in the morning, early in the morning to try to spare Daniel, and he couldn't. So he threw him in the lion's den and said, "Oh, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you?" But he prayed for him all night, unsaved man. Prayed to Daniel's God. Why? The law couldn't be changed. So there was a law that the king had instituted while he's sitting on his throne in his royal room, that he sits there with his scepter, and anyone that comes in and disturbs him, immediate is death. Well, apparently he had been very busy and he hadn't called for the queen in 30 days. So Mordecai's plan was, notice if you would, be in the outline, and Mordecai understood why God had made Queen Esther. So in all of this, it all made sense to Mordecai now. That's why God made Esther so beautiful. That's why God caused the former queen to be kicked out. God was preparing her to stand up for us Jews. He put her in the place that she could get us delivered. And then Esther said, "I can't go into the king. It's certain death for me." Now that would probably be all of our first responses. But Mordecai can only see the hundreds of thousands of Jews and all of their deaths and the little children's deaths. And he cannot envision why Esther would not go in and talk to the king, no matter the law. So notice, if you would, see in the outline, he asked Esther to go to the king and use her influence and beg the king for mercy. Then notice Roman numeral 3. God determined for Esther to be queen for one primary purpose. Now, she didn't know it. I'm sure she had no idea why God made her the queen. The queen of the greatest nation on earth. And the husband to the king that rules the world. Why would God put her in that position? I am sure in her mind, many times she asked that. Why would God have me be married to this unsaved king, even though he's very sweet to me, he's very kind to me, but why would God put me in this place? God was using her, preparing her to spare the nation of the Jews. I am certain, and if you think about it, why did God make you as smart as you are? Or why did God make you as pretty as you are? Or why did God give you certain talents? It's not for our benefit alone. It's for His glory. We can learn the lesson of Esther. So notice, if you would, A in the outline, she could have thought her beauty or sweetness caused her to be chosen as queen. Well, I know why He chose me, because and I'm prettier than everybody else, and I have a pleasant disposition, and other women don't. They're entitled and arrogant, and, you know, I'm just thankful the Lord allowed me to be this way. So that's why He chose me. No, He chose you for a particular time and at a particular day. Notice, B, she knew that all she had was a gift from God. Now notice what happens. See in the outline. Now she is still needed. Now she still needed the courage to risk it all to do God's will. It's become clear now to both Mordecai and Esther why God placed her in the position that He did. Now she had to have the courage to do the will of God. Isn't that the way it is for all of us? God places us in a certain position. Now you have to have the courage to do it. He puts you in a place to witness to somebody at work. Now you have to have the courage to do it. He puts you in the position to be able to forgive somebody and show them the love of God. And now you have to have the courage to do it. And so here Esther is. She's badly in her heart. What do I do? How do I do it? And so she's been well trained. She listened to the upbringing of Mordecai. She knew what fasting and prayer meant to God. And all of us in this room have to learn those same principles and lessons. If you're desperate for something, you fast and pray until God answers. Well, you'll notice, if you would, see in the outline, yes, she needed the courage. And so, one, she knew the penalty of not being asked to see the king was death. She knew the penalty. And she tells Mordecai, she said, I haven't been called in. And so the penalty is, but one, you just die. They come get you when you walk in if you disturb the king, and they take you out and you're killed. Two, she knew breaking the law was the only way to save her people. So she's tormented. She said, if I go in and he rejects me, I'm going to die. And if I don't go in, my people are going to die. Number three, now she knew her primary purpose was to save her people from the destruction of Haman's law. It all made sense. You know, Roman number four, then she develops a plan to do what Mordecai had asked her to do. Mordecai says, you got to go in and see the king. To him, it was a simple thing. You've got to take care of it. You're in the place nobody else is. God's placed you as a queen and you have his attention. You have influence. You know, tonight, every one of us have influence in somebody's life. Everybody here. Now, let me just say this. God has given women wives influence on their husband's heart. Everyone, woman. The closer the marriage, the more influence. Why do you think Eve had so much influence on Adam? Because he loved her more than the world. He loved her more than the Lord. Because she said, try this. It's very good. He should have said, no, I'm going to obey the Lord because he told me not to. And we wouldn't be sinners today. But her influence broke him down and he yielded. God never held her accountable as much as he did him. So women, you have great influence. That's the reason a woman has to dress a certain way, modestly. Her influence is tremendous on a man. That's the reason she has to be very careful what she asks for and how she handles herself because of your influence. Well, here it is, comes up. Mordecai says, use your influence to spare us. She said, I don't have influence because of the law. Well, then she begins to back up. She thinks a little bit about it. And notice in verse number 13. Then Mordecai commanded to Esther, answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. He said, we're all going to die unless somebody does something. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, this is verse 14 of chapter 4. Now here's a spiritual man. Then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. God is not going to let us, all the Jews, die. He's going to spare some, but majority of us are going to die. God's going to figure out something and he's going to use somebody else. But Esther, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. When they find out you're a Jew and I'm a Jew, we're both going to die. Who knoweth? And here where is where Mordecai brings up one of the great statements of Scripture. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knoweth whether you're here at Temple Baptist Church tonight for such a time as this, where the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart about something you ought to do? Or as you've got a few years and you're planning and going to school, and all of a sudden maybe you're in a job and God's got somebody there that He wants to see saved, and He's placed you, sent you to medical school, sent you to engineering school, sent you to business school, sent you to IT school, and all of a sudden now He's got you in a place where you're right beside somebody that God wants to see saved. And who knows that you're not here for such a time as this. Understand this. Not one person in this room is in this place by accident. God has a plan for all of us. The question is, are we accomplishing His plan? Now, Esther is sitting here thinking, how can I do the plan of God for me? It's clear that God has a purpose for me, and it's to try to help save my people and to use my influence. But will I ever get the chance? Now, you and I, we face things that we don't have an answer for. So what should we do? We shouldn't have the property we have at Concora. Someone told me yesterday, Pastor, you know, one of the people that was at the meeting when the supervisors approved us, he said, Pastor, you know you would never get approved again. You got approved by 1 month. He said, wow. You know what? The Lord's plan was perfect. He didn't make a mistake. And if you were there at that meeting, you could see it. For such a time as this, our attorney was like, wow, look what God did. Here Esther is facing the same thing. There's no hope unless God does it. So look what she does. Roman number 4. Everyone, all the Jews in the Shushan, the palace, devoted themselves to prayer and deliverance for Esther as she went to the king. So she says to all of her chamberlains and all of her maids, notice in verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. You tell Mordecai, this is what I'm going to do. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. That's the palace. That's the capital city. And fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens in the capital, in the palace, will fast likewise. Let's ask the God of heaven, let's get His attention by our fasting and prayers. And then notice verse 16. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. You know what? When it comes to a missions conference and the Dr. Sis stands up and says, look, everybody here ought to surrender to the mission field. Oh, God's not going to call all of you, but you ought to surrender. So Lord, I'll go any place and do anything you want me to do. Matter of fact, every Sunday, everybody in this room ought to come to your knees in your heart and say, Lord, I'll surrender. I'll do anything you want me to do. Because you may be in the perfect will of God in your life, but God's got something for you to do tomorrow. Lord, I'm yours. And it may be hard for you to do. How many have ever had the feeling you ought to witness to somebody, but you just almost couldn't get the words out? You were just afraid. You just weren't sure. Raise your hand. Let me see it. Listen, look here. It's all of us. This is Esther. She gives us the secret to getting God to move the heart of the king. Before we went to the board of supervisors, we fasted and prayed. The Lord turned the heart of the king the night before. Notice if you would. In verse 17. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. So Mordecai says, okay, I'm going to fast and pray with you. So that's what they do. Now notice if you would. A in the outline, they fasted and prayed for her for 3 days. Everybody gets together. They unburden their heart to the Lord. B, God prepared the king's heart the night before she came. What timing. If you look at chapter 6, verse 1, we're going to jump ahead just a little bit. We'll catch it in about 2 weeks. But I want you to notice, number one, on that night, the night before Esther comes in, now notice if you would, could not the king sleep? And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before him. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. The king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who's in the court? Now Naaman was coming to the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. God knew that Haman had built a set of gallows 75 feet high, and he was going to hang Mordecai, and he was going to ask that day, and God the night before kept Ahasuerus up until he went to the records and found that Mordecai had saved his life. That's no mistake. Notice chapter 5, verse 2. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. She put on the apparel that she was supposed to put on to go and meet the king. It's not that she dolled herself up. I'm certain that she tried to look as pretty as she could, but she put on the apparel that the king demanded to enter into his court, his royal court. And stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so that when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, and here's 3 days of fasting and prayer, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Notice, see in the outline, God gave her favor in the eyes of the king. Now listen to this. He offered to listen to her and give her up to one half of the kingdom. What an impression that God gave her on the king. We must learn to trust the Lord, E in the outline, with results when we do the right thing. Now, I want you to listen to this and I'm going to close. When we were going before the Board of Supervisors for our piece of land, we had spent $1.3 million approximately to get to the Board of Supervisors to ask the question. But I know that all of us were praying. And some of us were fasting and praying that the Lord would change the hearts of the supervisors. Our supervisor did not even give me an indication that she was for us or against us until the week before the supervisor's meeting. Very sweet lady. But she revealed nothing. We did not know if we even had the person that had to represent us on our side. And then the night before, the man that is the supervisor for our Ashburn property called our attorney and said, I can't support you and you don't have enough votes. 1.3 million down the drain. Except we had fasted and prayed and said, Lord, there's nothing we can do but trust you. You have to turn the heart of the king. And that night, I was stunned when our supervisor got up and said, I want this pushed through. I want this church to have this piece of property. I went, wow. And then the very guy that said the night before, I'm not for you, said, and I vote for it, and I want you to know it's a good thing. And he went on and explained why it was a good thing. And you know the vote. It changed. It was 4-4, and that meant we lost. And one lady said, no, that's not right. I voted for it. And I was stunned. But in my heart, I felt like the Lord would do it. No reason. Other than if you're trying to do the right thing, you trust the Lord. And let it happen. Susan taught me, if you can't change it, don't worry about it. Had a good night's sleep the night before because I couldn't change it. All I could do was fast and pray, and I'd done all that I could. You had done all you could. And just like she walks up with fear and trembling, walks into the inner court, I'm sure she's shaking, and the king catches her eye, and God has worked in his heart. She doesn't know. He's already sent out to Mordecai to be honored. And all of a sudden, the king's heart is just smitten. Wow. Is she beautiful? Listen to what he says. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee unto half the kingdom. Only God can change the law of the Medes and Persians to say, not only can you ask the question, you can have up to half the kingdom. Tonight, you're here for such a time as this. So am I. Who is it? What is it? Does God want you to do? Tonight, Esther is a supreme example of beauty, sweetness, as a gift of God used for his glory. And Mordecai and the Jews getting on their knees and fasting and praying and saying, Lord, we're dead unless you step in, but we're yours, whatever you want. It's happened to three Hebrew children. Lord, we're going into the fiery furnace, but you can save us if you choose. Whatever you choose is fine with us. You see throughout Scripture, Lord, we're dead without you. Hezekiah takes the letter of the king Sennacherib and says, Lord, we're dead without you. It's up to you, Lord. Could you deliver us? The next day, 185,000 of Sennacherib's men dead in their tents. God sent an angel, one. It is not difficult for God to do anything in this life. When he is in it, it will get done. And you and I have to learn, we do what is right and trust the Lord for the results. And Esther's example that God always backs us up. Tonight, what is it that God wants you to do? What is it tonight? Who is it God wants you to forgive, even though it's impossible? Who is it God wants you to speak to, even though it's impossible? What is it God wants you to do? We're going to have a word of prayer tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, you know us tonight. Father, this story moves my heart every time I read it. Lord, as a young girl says, if I perish, I perish. But she had primed the pump, and Lord, she had touched your heart by fasting and prayer and got all of her friends to fast and pray for her. And she went in with courage, Lord. And we're here tonight, Lord, we need courage to do what's right too. Would you grant to us the same courage you gave to Esther? Father, speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.